Father, I just thank you tonight for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. I thank you for the people, Father God, who have come alive tonight and danced before the King. And I know, Father God, that you're looking down upon us and you really enjoy everything you're seeing. So, Father, I'm just asking tonight you just drop a glory drop on us that will take us right on into eternity, Father. And, Father, we thank you, we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to talk about the double portion. God said, ask me for the double portion and I will give it. You know, God always told me, he said, you just ask too small. And we have to ask largely. And every time we have a revival, we say, well, that was just for us. And God said to me, don't you ever say that again. It is not just for you. It's for the world. Amen. So I'm asking for the nations. Amen. Scripture says, ask for the nations, he'll give it to you. So that's where we're at tonight. We're in discontent because we've had this long enough now. We want to go higher and we want to have greater things, right? No more small stuff. No more four wall stuff. We want to take revival to the world. Amen. Come on. We want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. I love to see you all do the bunny hop. Holy Spirit hop, I mean, I'm sorry. And I love to see you shout and dance and twirl. But I sure would love to see some sign, wonders, and miracles. Really, truly, I just did. Some of you never danced before. I did see a sign, wonder, and a miracle tonight, all right? So I already did see one. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. I repent. 2 Kings 2:9 says, when they arrived on the other side, Elijah said to Elijah, what wish shall I grant you before I am taken away? And Elijah replied, please grant me twice as much prophetic power as you have had. The NIV version says, when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elijah, tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit, Elijah replied. Elijah was a man of great power. So when Elijah said to him, I want a double portion of what you have. He was asking for a whole lot. Amen. The glory of God rested upon him and he did many exploits with God to allow God's presence to be seen before the people. Elijah was a man who surrendered to God and was his vessel. And you know, as I was putting this together, I don't think it's too wrong if we know a great man of God who is going on before us, or a woman of God who's going on before us, say, God, I'd like to have a double portion of what they had. I'd like to go ahead and carry on their mantle. Amen. Because God said he has to give these mantles to somebody. And so why not ask for them? Amen. Elijah knew God's voice. All right, let's start this again. Elijah knew God's voice, his presence, and his actions. He experienced the anointing and the glory, which is the manifested presence of God. Elijah wanted that also. Elijah wanted the whole package. We're so content with just a little bit standing on the fringes. We need to get in everything that God. The body of Christ is so content. You guys are radical. Which is good. Oh, there you go. There you go. You said it, right? It's time to be radical. Remember, she told us that God told her we were supposed to be radical. Matthew 16, verse 15 says, he saith unto them, but whom, this is Jesus saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now I'm going to tell you something here. I believe that we can be another Peter. I believe if we have a great revelation of who God really is, that God will say the same thing to us individually as he said to Peter, and he will give us the keys. We already have the keys, but I'm talking about on a personal, one-on-one, you know, God wants us to go higher than we've ever gone before. And it's time that we, don't worry about what everybody else around about you is doing. You get hungry yourself. And you ask God for what you want. And so if your friend has to stay behind, they just have to stay behind. You go on and you go as high as God can take you. And God can only take you as high as you want to go. All right, she said, I want to go all the way up. God heard that. Matthew 16:15 in the Amplified said, Jesus said to them, but who do you yourselves say that I am? Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus answered him, blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you. Hear that? You're blessed, happy, fortunate, and to be envied are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood, men have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. The Greek is Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, Greek Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades and the powers of the infernal region shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold on out against it. Excuse me. I'm excited because God, this is where God is trying to take us. He's taken us to a place where the enemy can no longer touch us in any way, shape, or form. He wants us to have such a deep revelation of what he's trying to do in this end time, I'm here in army, that nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing in this world will stop us ever again. That we're just going to press through and press on and we're going to receive all that God has for us. Then Jesus went on to say, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He wants us to have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He really does. Why do you think he keeps telling us, come up higher? And he said, I thought this was interesting. And whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. You see that in that? That's a different way of looking at that. See, the thing's already done in heaven. And as we declare it on earth, it's going to be done here too. Peter was asked by Jesus, who do you say I am? He answered, you are the Christ, meaning anointed one. Jesus tells him, it's by God you know this, which is revelation. Just stop and think of the revelation knowledge that God has given some of you right now. And there's only one way you know it, and that's because God is revealing it to you. If it had been coming by man, you'd have known it a long time ago. But you're just now getting this revelation. Two vital elements are very present at the same time. It's revelation and anointing. And this is what God wants us to receive tonight. He wants us to receive revelation, and he wants us to receive an anointing. All right? That's the double portion. According to this scripture, when we receive a true revelation, it becomes foundational, the rock. All right? When we receive a true revelation, it becomes, you know, a true revelation, not something you conjure up. It becomes foundational, the rock. Hence, upon this, I will build my church. See, God is trying to reconstruct the church because the church as it is today is messed up. So he's rebuilding his church. When he's finished, nobody will recognize the church. And he's trying to get a group of people who will understand the truth of what he's trying to do grasp hold of it, and then you become the rock, and then upon you, he'll build that church. Are you understanding this tonight? You're going to see a lot, well, we have been seeing a lot of churches die. It's because they won't grab hold of the truth, and they aren't built on the rock, and therefore they fall when the winds come. Amen? And see, you guys, you know, as a family, as a unit, as each one of you get this truth, this revelation, along with the anointing, can you understand what God can do? Tear down the enemy's kingdom. Revelation is also the glory of God manifested to man. All right. Revelation is also the glory of God manifested to man. All right. So that this element of the scripture may very well have described the glory was present. In the glory, there is perfect rest. The glory was present when he spoke to Peter. All right. And in the glory, there is perfect rest. That's how you can gauge your own walk with God. If you're walking in the glory, you're going to have perfect rest. You're going to have peace when the storms come. You're involved with the storm, but yet inside you think, I'm at peace with this thing. The glory is there with that thing. In this scripture, Jesus confirms Peter, and that brings encouragement and rest. God wants to confirm each one of you in here tonight so that will bring you encouragement and rest. See, we've been so scatterbrained and so here, there, and everywhere, and we're not encouraged, and we don't have any rest. And tonight, God wants to bring us to that place of perfect rest and perfect peace in him, where we know what he's called us to do, and we go forth with total confidence, and nothing the enemy can do can tear us down. Are you understanding this? What was happening here was Jesus is in a tabernacle moment with Peter, who had entered a place of rest and comfort because Jesus was there with him. It is important to tabernacle with Jesus. The other night here, I was sitting during praise and worship, and Jesus' face appeared right here in front of this pulpit and stayed all during praise and worship. See, Jesus was tabernacling with us. He was here with us with his presence. And this is what God wants us to have in our homes, in our cars, in our workplaces. Everywhere we go, he wants to be part of us. And whenever we're tabernacling with Jesus, we won't sin. We won't have any desire to sin. And you know, you find yourself just feeling so peaceful and so restful. And you know, sometimes you think you have to pinch yourself to make sure you're still here, you know, because you have such peace in a troubled world. And this is where God is wanting to take us to tonight. I lost my place. It is very important to tabernacle with Jesus. In his presence, which is manifested presence, we are witnessing ease and comfort. In his presence, his manifested presence, we are witnessing ease and comfort. Jesus comforts and admonishes him, Peter, by saying, no man can show you this but God. No man can take you into that place of his manifested presence. It's you and God. You and God. Constantly you and God. Amen. God wants us to ask him for the double portion tonight. I'm a little bit selfish. I like to have a triple portion. Amen. Right? The first task is to let God know that we know who he is. Do you know who God is tonight? Do you really know he is God? He's your Savior. He's the one, you know, that gives you grace, gives you love, pulls you forth. Some of you don't because you weren't sort of entering into the river tonight. So just standing there. And I'm thinking, God, give them a revelation of who you are. I like them to be an alligator, grab you by the leg and pull you under, right? And hold you there, give you that little roll thing. Amen? All right, the first task is to let God know that we know who he is, and that can only come through revelation. See, I just believe that God's going to give you a revelation tonight that he really, truly is God. That he is all sufficiency. that the only thing you need in life is Him and His presence in your life. Then all this other junk would just sort of float around in the air, you know? Revelation is the presence of God, a realm of glory. In this realm of glory, we obtain life-changing characteristics of God. In this realm of glory, we obtain life-changing characteristics of God. See, we have to become like God, you know, our characteristic does, so that He can send us forth. And when they look at you, they want what you have because they feel that there's something there that they don't have. And they want it. And that's the characteristics of God. All right, to be displayed through us in Him. Our objective is always to change. Never be content where you're at. I don't care if you have the glory. Want more glory. Be little pigs. You know? Just keep wanting more and more and more and more and more. This is what God said, we're changed from glory to glory to glory. Isn't that what He says? But this goes further. Peter says, you are the Christ, meaning the anointed one. This was a powerful revelation. Jesus is of God. Glory, the manifested presence from heaven's realm. That's who Jesus is. He is the anointed one from God, sent to deliver man from sin and become heirs to the kingdom. You know, everything revolves around heaven. Heaven was there first, or, you know, earth was not. You know, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, you know, they're there in heaven. And they're working through us to bring heaven to earth. I just wish that we would get so consumed by God that every place we go, people run up, hug us, you know, and give me what you got. Give me what you got. Say, take it. It's yours. And just keep right on walking. You already give it to them. You hug me, you got it. You walk by me, you got it, you know. We don't have to think, all right, now my spirit filled tonight. Can they receive something from me? No, you walk in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Come on. You walk in it. You sleep in it. You talk in it. We need to become aware of this double portion He is giving. The glory realm is a place where eternity and earth meet to disclose the ultimate purpose of God's granting peace of His presence, plus knowledge of the purpose and mind of Christ changing us into His image. Now, didn't God prophesy to us last night and say, I want you to come up into my glory realm where I am? Isn't that what He said? So let's read that again. We need to become aware of this double portion He is giving. The glory realm is the place where eternity and earth meet. Last night, God invited us up into the glory realm so earth could meet heaven. That invitation is still open, I heard Him say. Amen. Where eternity and earth meet to disclose the ultimate purpose of God's granting peace of His presence. See, if we would just get up into that glory realm with God, we would have peace. We wouldn't be troubled all the time. We wouldn't be knocked off course all the time, because we would have the perfect peace that passes all understanding. And you pinch yourself because you think, I really should be upset about right now. But you're not, because you have finally found the truth, and you finally had the revelation that God is perfect peace, and that He is the one that's taking care of your life. So therefore, you don't have anything to worry about. Now, we still have to function. We can't float around on a cloud somewhere. But as we're functioning, we function in perfect peace. And when things go wrong, you still are in perfect peace. Because after all, you can't change it. Only God can change it, so you might as well stay in peace. They say, here it is, God, it's all yours. Amen. Psalm 91, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Let's read that again. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, You have to dwell there, right? Shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, on whom I lean and rely, and in Him I confidentially trust. I'm not trusting in my husband, my kids, or one of you. I'm trusting in God, right? For then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. If you do all that, verse 1 and 2, then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Right? Then He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. All right? You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow that the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day. And see, we aren't doing 1 and 2, or we wouldn't be in 5. Right? Nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. In other words, all around you, people would be falling, but you're still standing. Amen. Come on. Are you getting, I want you to get verse 7. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be. See that? Yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. We're only supposed to be a spectator, watching the wicked fall. Because verse 9 says, because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Uh-huh. We must be doing something wrong because we don't fit into number 10. It says, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For He will give His angels special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. How many of you, when you've been in a mess, say, all right, angels, where are you at? You know, I'm doing everything God told me to do. Now I need you to come on the scene and take care of this situation for me. Amen. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Verse 14, because He has set His love upon you, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake Him. No, never. See, we need to understand verse 14. Let's read that again. Because He has set His love upon me. Do you love God? Therefore, will I deliver Him. That's what He says, if you love Him. I will set Him on high because He knows and understands my name. In other words, you have a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trust and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake Him. No, never. You know, I sometimes I can just take myself and go, bow, 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 bow. That's how stupid I've been over the years. I fell out of something here and just thought the devil could do whatever he wanted to with me. And I know I'm not the only one in this room that has done that. Well, we're back to verse 14, right? Come on. Verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Every time, you know, if we're doing all this that we just read, then God said when we call upon Him, He's going to answer us. I will be with Him in trouble. I will deliver Him and honor Him. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. And the footnotes there for that psalm is Psalm 91:1. The rich promises of this whole chapter are dependent upon one's meeting exactly the conditions of these first two verses. If you go back and read the first two verses and meet all that, then the rest of it's yours. Exodus 15:26 saying, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and will do what is right in His sight and will listen to and obey His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. All right, guys, we've been down the road 10 years of hell. We've gone through the Job experience. Now it's done. Now it's onward and upward. onward and upward. Take this psalm tonight and sit down and meditate on it and take it as your personal covenant with God, and it's onward and upward. Let's quit worrying and just talk about what the Job experience did to us and what the last 10 years of hell did to us. And let's just concentrate on what is ahead of us and what God is leading us into, which is perfect peace and liberty. Vessels of honor that he can work through. Now, the anointing is given to destroy yokes. Many times you'll hear me when I'm praying for anybody, I say, I release the anointing that destroys every yoke. You know, that's the Holy Spirit bringing that those words out. But we have to understand the anointing that you receive with the double portion is to destroy yokes, not only in other people's lives, but in your own life also. The anointing does abide in each and every one of you sitting in here tonight. You just have to have faith and step out there and use that anointing. Satan will always, always, always try to make you walk in fear and tell you, you can't do that. The minute you hear those words, say, oh, yes, I can. Because your word says so, does it not? Plus, he is in essence granting permission to man to join into the fellowship of his works. In other words, God is giving us permission to do the same great mighty works that his son Jesus did. He wishes we would. Amen. You know, I know at one point, you know, when God allowed me to raise the dead, and I said, everyone are raised from the dead, said, why did you do that? I was happy where I was at. So then I said, well, I'm not going to try to raise anybody from the dead again. But now I'm hearing where that's what God wants us to do, is to raise the dead. So I'm just going to go with the flow. Whatever he wants me to do, I'll do. Whatever he doesn't want me to do, I won't do. Amen. If I raise somebody from the dead and they said, I want to go back, God will take you back. Amen. As the anointing moves in, we reciprocate by the act of agreement. In other words, when you was up here in the river, that was an anointing. And you know, if you would just agree with God that the anointing is here, and that what if you needed a healing, you could have got a healing when you was dancing in the river. Whatever you have need of, you know, if you agree with God, you're going to receive it. All right, then I said, resulting in physical action. We have to do something. We were so busy. Oh, whoop, whoop, whoop. Let's do the little curtsy thing and the square dance thing, and let's just hop and jump. We weren't really concentrating the fact we were in the power. We were in the anointing that destroys every yoke, and we could have received whatever miracle we needed. Ah. So next time I invite you to the river, come expecting and agreeing with God that whatever you have need of, you're going to receive. Amen. That was God that did that. That wasn't me. All right. So I know he did something to you, whether you understood this or not. He did something to you. Amen. He always does. He knows we're just little children sometimes, don't understand adult things, right? In the glory presence, there is rest, ease, and comfort. You'll know when you're standing in the glory because you will have rest, ease, and comfort. You're just saying, I can't believe this is all going on around about me, and I'm not even concerned about it anymore. It's because you're standing in the glory once again. In the anointing, the flesh is moving to do exploits with God for the purpose of engaging us to a closer, more fulfilled, and healthier walk with God. In other words, when the anointing is here, we say, all right, here's what I say. All right, God, you told me one time, whatever I placed my hand to do, you would finish it. So if the anointing is really flowing, you know, when the anointing is really flowing and I come and lay hands on you, I expect God to do whatever needs to be done in your life. You're understanding this? The anointing and your flesh, they work together. It's your faith that God is in control and he's going to do something. All right. You know, whenever I was always walking in the glory and all the miracles were happening, then God spoke to me one day, he said, now you're going into the curse. Then I started praying for people saying, God, are you really going to heal them? Are you understanding this? God took me into a dry place. And then I got to the point I wouldn't pray for people who were sick because I just knew he wasn't going to do anything. See, because I wasn't walking in the glory. For some reason or other, God put me in a dry place. That was a bad place to be. I didn't like that. But when you're walking in the glory, you just walk around like you're halfway dumb. And you just know God's just going to do it. You know, he just is going to do it. You know? It's like somebody's high on pot or something, you know, walking around. You know, you're just in another world, and just God's just going to do anything you want him to do. And he does. In the glory, he really does do that. Amen. In Psalm 61, we see this happening, and it's titled Forerunning Prayer by David. Hear my cry, O God, listen to my prayer. From the ends of the earth I call to you. I call as my heart grows faint. Lead me to the rock. Revelation's foundation. That's what the rock is. It's revelation and foundation. That is higher than I. For you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. The gates of hell, Hades, will not prevail. Yet, as you read the whole psalm is of glory and promise, the same promise Jesus gave Peter. That promise is for you and I tonight. You know, God has taken us so high, and if we would just take it, just go ahead and let our dumb stuff go. Excuse me. And just let God take us as high as he wants to take us, which is forever. He doesn't want us to stop. He says, come higher, come higher, come higher. We'll be a bunch of whoopee people, you know. We'll be laughing and grinning, and you know, hell's breaking loose around about us, and we'll say, hi, how are you today? You know, what has she had to drink today, you know? Can I have some of your pot? It must be pretty well loaded. Because you're out of it. Amen. Wouldn't you like to be out of it, yeah, Tina? Yeah. Wouldn't you like to be out of it?
All the time.
Amen. Huh? Come on. Come on. This is what God wants of us. He really does want this of us. Why go to spirit-filled churches that they're dead? Come on. You can go down to some other church in the corner where the Spirit is and sit there dead. But why would you want to sit where the Spirit's moving and stay dead? Show me your glory, O Lord, that I may have revelation to obtain rest. You reading that? Show me your glory, O Lord, that I may have revelation to obtain rest. This should be our heart's cry each and every day of our lives. Come on. Oh, did we all get a deliverance here? All four of you yawned at the same time. Show me your glory, O Lord, that I may have revelation to obtain rest. This should be our heart's cry each and every day of our lives. My first part of the double portion is to rest in him. This will give me his presence that I may know him and believe. You got that? Rest in him. The Lord showed Moses his glory, which is revealed goodness, Exodus 33:18. And Moses said, I beseech you, show me your glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, before you. For I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy and loving kindness on whom I will show mercy and loving kindness. Moses said, show me your glory. We should be so hungry for his glory. We should be crying every day, God, show me your glory. Every second that you don't have your mind in a mud pie somewhere, you should be saying, God, show me your glory. Let me walk on your glory cloud continually, Lord. Amen. Really and truly, I really believe that when trouble hits you, what you should first thing you should say is, God, show me your glory. And then whenever he brings his glory upon you, then you go into rest. Then that's the end of it. Because you're in rest. You're in his glory and you're in his rest. And you don't care what goes on. Because God is in control. Peter had revelation about the glory of God. Jesus was with him in Matthew 16:15. Elijah entered the glory when Elijah's mantle fell to the ground. But first, now see, I think this is interesting. As you read that story, Elijah entered the glory when Elijah's mantle fell to the ground. But first, he knew Elijah. You know, Elijah knew Elijah, and Elijah knew God. Amen. If you want somebody's mantle, you better know them and know that they know God. And then you'll receive everything they had. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11. As they still went on and talked, behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire parted the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle that fell from Elijah and struck the waters and said, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the waters, they parted this way and that, and Elijah went over. There was Elijah's God, parting the waters. When the sons of the prophets who were watching at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rest on Elijah," and they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Your anointing will prove who you are. You don't have to go around, I'm somebody big. Your anointing will do it for you. Are you listening? Come on. Quit bragging on yourself. Quit trying to put big posters up about yourself and how wonderful you are. Your anointing will speak for you. Amen. The second part of the double portion is the anointing. The first was revelation. The second is anointing. The anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit to fill and cover. He is in you. He comes upon you. Use the flesh to do the works of the present needs of the Father. He uses our vessels to do what God wants to do at that present time. Amen. Will you please quit boo-hooing and crying, "Oh, God, are you ever going to use me?" Quit it. He's already in you. He already wants to use you right now. Remember my story. I didn't know what I know now. I was born again ignorant. And I went to Gary Whetstone's. He always had the big preachers in up there, and hunters were there one time, and she was telling all this stuff that God wanted to give to the people, and God said, "Don't you go down there. You already got it." And so I went down anyhow. And Frances Hunter said to me, she said, "Honey, why did you come down here? God told you already have it. You already do." And about then, some great big heavy set woman was thrown from one side of Gary Whetstone's church over and landed on top of me and broke my ribs. I disobeyed God. He said, "Don't go down there. You already have the anointing." Then I was in another church and the same thing happened, and God said, "Don't go down there. You already have the anointing." I went down anyhow, thinking I didn't have the anointing. You are anointed. Get that in your spirit. You are anointed. Allow God to work through you and use that anointing that lies within you, and quit allowing the enemy to speak lies into your life and put placing fear within you. Come on. My husband said to me one night going home church, he said, "You know, you're always telling the story about how you was in that church and God told you to turn your face to the wall and the pastor got upset with you." He said, "You were doing just like, Hezekiah. Just like King Hezekiah, you turned your back away from the people when you was facing God." Isn't that neat? And you know, as I did that, then God started speaking to me what he wanted me to do there that night. So sometimes you're going to have to turn your back on the people, place your eyes on God so he can give you direction of what he wants you to do. The glory is really in your strong. Can't already see you people. That's why I'm blinking. God wants us to realize tonight that we are anointed and we do have revelation knowledge of who he is. We are just not using it. We're allowing Satan to put fear within us, telling us, "You better not go out there and do that. You're going to fall on your face." So what if you do fall on your face? Get back up again. Come on. Just get back up again. and keep on moving. Don't stop moving. And the minute you stop moving, the devil has you. Just keep on moving. So you made a mistake. God's word says a righteous man falls 7 times in one day, and then 7 times in one day rises back up again. Right? In the anointing, it's the observance that man is operating with God. When you're anointed, people will be able to tell that God is in you, using you to do the works. It is in the anointing we can do exploits, we can pray for hours, we can sing and dance for hours, and we can cast out devils. We can raise the dead. He tabernacles with us to do that through the Holy Spirit to grant all grace and hope for goodness and mercy and most of all salvation. Now, you know, I don't know what you all have done in your walk with God, but when I first started, you know, in the ministry here in Delaware, I would go to these churches and it's 7 o'clock at night and I was still prophesying at 2 o'clock in the morning. Because they went out and said, there's a prophet in town. And he was gathering everybody up, bringing them into the church. But I wasn't tired. I did not get tired, and God didn't run out of words. And, you know, I just stood there and prophesied, and I kept by looking, that line isn't going anywhere. It's getting bigger. Then the pastor told me, I said, where'd all them people come from? Because there were about 10 in room when it started, you know. And she said, when you start prophesying, they knew the anointing was there. They just went and told everybody. Come on. And I don't care where I go to minister, I never get tired. And how many of you know when you operate under the anointing, when you're all done and you sit down, you say, I am really tired. I could fall. You want to fall sound asleep. But under the anointing, nothing bothers you. Absolutely nothing. And if you're sick under the anointing, you're not sick. But the minute you get off me with the anointing, oh, sick again. You know? Come on. You're anointed, don't you? Don't you understand you're anointed?
Yes.
Come on. You know, people were funny when we first started in the home, you know, and the anointing was always super strong. This one night, there was an ex-pastor there, and he had quit his church, and he had a 2-year-old little girl there, And I said, let her lay hands on everybody. Line everybody up, let her lay hands on everybody. So she did, and they all went out in the spirit. He said, see how anointed my daughter is, my granddaughter is. No, it was anointing in the church. It didn't matter. A piece of paper could have touched you on the head, and you'd have went out in the spirit. You see what I'm saying? I'm serious. That rock, is it up there? I don't know where that rock's at. I told you that I was going to, you know, when I first started, I wanted to be dramatic, you know. I was going to give this sermon about jumping on the rock, you know. and I always wore high heels, and I brought the rock and had it all set up. And I looked at that rock and I thought, no, I can't jump it on. I might fall. So I didn't jump on it. But then I said, you know, anybody needs a healing, come on, stand that rock. You know, people got glued to the rock, could not move off that rock, and they were healed. The anointing was there in the church, and so that rock became anointed. And it's still anointed today. It's still anointed today. The anointing's still in that rock. One guy said, there's no anointing in that rock. What do you mean? And I said, well, come and stand on it, sir. And he's coming. I said, God, getting good. So anyhow, he stood on a rock, and he tried to get off, and he's going, he couldn't get his feet off the rock. God made him stand there for quite some time too. See, the anointing, you know, I carried the anointing. The anointing was in the church, and anything I brought in there became anointed. Do you understand this?
Yes.
People used to come into a home, they said, I can't even stand there and sit down because the anointing was so strong in my home when we had the church there. If you just understand that you do carry anointing, wherever you go, the anointing goes with you. It does not stay in your home. When you got out of your car, it didn't stay in the car because the anointing's in you. And wherever you went, you took that anointing with you. And you can believe for God to do anything because you're anointed. Come on. All right, I got carried away here. So I said we can get tired under the anointing, all right? But in the realms of glory, we find rest so we may obtain strength to endure the anointing. Hear that? But in the realms of glory, we find rest so we may obtain strength to endure the anointing. You know, if you really want to be tested with the anointing, just go into a room with a bunch of heathens in a church where people really and truly are not saved. Boy, it'll really draw on you, won't it? It'll just suck that right up out of you. If you have pastors in there who are jealous, they'll be, you know, they're sitting there, you know, throwing daggers at you, and that just pulls on you terrible. But God makes sure you stay anointed, and He keeps you. God's power must be endured to fulfill the needs of God at any given moment. That's why I tell you people, you're up here trying to pray for people, you're staggering around, falling down yourself. I said, learn to carry the anointing. Learn to carry the anointing. I mean, you see me, and sometimes I have to lock my knees and everything else, stay up, but learn to carry the anointing. The devil would love to make you knock you down, say, oh, look how anointed they are. They went right on out. Yeah, well, get on right back up again, because what the devil did was knock you down so you couldn't minister to the people. Come on. Are you understanding this? You can carry the anointing and do the works for God. It's powerful and it's hard, but you can do it. Now, wouldn't it be something if Jesus walked around and with all the anointing he had, and he'd always fall down in the spirit? And he couldn't even pray for people and raise the dead. So. But he didn't. He stayed on his feet. And I know that he had a lot of glory in him and a lot of anointing. So God told me, you'd read about my son and everything he did, you can do. So I knew that I could carry the anointing and still minister. Are you listening to this? Elijah grabbed what he knew in secret and ran to the water, tried it out, and obtained the presence. And so can we. Elijah grabbed what he knew in secret, what you know in your heart, ran to the water. You know, he said, where is the God of Elijah? I get the names mixed up, and just slammed the water with that mantle. He tried it out and obtained the presence. The water split. Amen. Elijah then moved in the anointing from that point on. God, you use your one time mightily and say, oh, that was really nice. And then you sit down. Amen. You know, like last night, I said to somebody, come on. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to do the other. They'll be surprised who I grab hold of, because God said, I want you to go and do this with that. And they said, okay, God, I don't mind. You know. I'm just a vessel. Grab you and say, come on, God wants you to do something. And if I say that to you, it's God is saying that. I would never, ever, ever do that in my flesh, because nothing would be accomplished. All right. I used to teach, when I first started this church, I used to teach people how to prophesy. One time this couple came over to my house at 12 o'clock at night. The husband had moved in with another woman, and they were trying to get back together, and they come over there, and he said, well, what do you say, Pastor? And I said, you know what? Just let God tell you what. Now, I'm not telling you nothing. And I said, start prophesying to yourself. He looked at me real funny. I said, now, come on. I said, you want to know? You're getting really cocky here. You start prophesying to yourself and tell yourself what you're supposed to do. Well, all of a sudden, he started prophesying to himself. He did not like what he said to himself. God told on him right through his own mouth. It told him exactly what he wanted him to do. He didn't do it, and he died. But still, no, you know, I guess that was God. It had to be God, because I don't know why I would ever tell him to go and prophesy his own. He wants to hear. Let God talk to him through his own mouth. You ought to try that with people. I don't have a word for you, but why don't you go ahead and let God prophesy to yourself? I say, go ahead, start talking. You know, you hear the word the. Say the. And boy, everything else, the water, you just opened up the dam. Everything else just come right on out. What do you think we do whenever we start prophesying to you people? We just hear a word or two and then we just say it. And then the rest of it flows. We have to do it by faith and be obedient. Amen. So do you want the double portion anointing or don't you? It's revelation and anointing. God wants you to have the double portion tonight. If you do, this is a prayer we're going to say together. Dear Jesus, I ask for a double portion for myself. I ask for you to show me your glory. Now stop. What you're praying, I want you to believe is going to happen. We just prayed, I asked for you to show me your glory. Now, expect God to start showing you his glory. Now, come on. Teach me to rest in it and get to know you. I ask you to grant me wisdom and grace to sit and live in you. Let your presence give me revelations upon revelations in your holy writ and by your spirit. Grant me your servant, O Lord, to recognize, to discern what it is in the present moment that you want me to cooperate with you to accomplish. I need this double portion of Jesus, the Son of God. I need to build that secret place of habitation and take it outside to the world. The earth is longing for us. Preserve me in your realms of glory and anoint me in your spirit to win the lost. Set them free and deliver man from the tricks of your enemies. Help me teach them to be inheritors of your kingdom. I pray that I change my focus from what I think to what it is you are doing. I ask now for the double portion, glory and anointing to walk with me, to keep me, to preserve me, and to change me into your image each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to see new creatures in Christ Jesus the next time I see your faces. I want to see you so confident. You know, I am confident in Christ. I just know that who I am. I know that God is in me. I know he's anointed me. And I know what he's called me to do. And I know that it's not me doing. And I know it's Christ living in me. You need to get that down in your spirit. You need to quit allowing the devil to twist you every which way. And I'm hearing God saying, you need to start obeying my voice every time I speak, just not when you feel like it. Amen.